Father, we thank you for putting it into the hearts of these dear ones to come and seek your face in prayer, and for us, Lord, to receive from you that which you want us to learn and to know about praying in victory. And so, Father, we can't do this without your Holy Spirit. And we ask now, in the name of Jesus, your Holy Spirit to rule and guide us for the glory of your name. Amen. 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 Now, the most important presence we want is the presence of Jesus, is it not? Mm-hmm. The sense of his presence, you see. The subject is why our prayers aren't answered. And the first scripture we have to look at is Mark 11 and verse 22. Jesus said to the disciples, "Have faith in God. I assure you that you can say to this mountain, 'May God lift you up and throw you into the sea,' and your command will be obeyed. All that's required is that you really believe and do not doubt in your heart. Listen to me. You can pray for anything, and if you believe, you will have it. But when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too." And so before we can enter into any time of prayer, corporate or personal, you've got to know there's no grudge in your heart against anyone. Otherwise you're wasting your time. God won't hear, you see. Now, we've been over this so many times, haven't we, many of us? And it's so lovely that one of the great meanings of the cross is forgiveness. It's the forgiveness of God saying, "I forgive you all your sin. Even if you don't think anything of me, I still forgive you." And Jesus says, "You turn round and forgive others in my name." You can't forgive yourself. Jesus says, "Forgive your enemies and those that despise you," but you can't. But what he means is, forgive it, forgive in the way I have provided for you. That is, in my name. And when you forgive somebody, if you say, "In the name of Jesus, I forgive you the way you hurt me," you are plugging in to all the divine forgiveness that flows from Calvary. And Satan cannot take it. He has to let go. And you can be free, and the resurrection love of Jesus can flow into that area. So let's pause for a moment and just make sure that there's nobody that you brought into the room this morning in your heart and your thoughts against whom you have a grudge, be it in the church, be it in the family, be it in business, be it in the past. And as we meet from time to time, we'll be sharing this over and over again. Some of you have been with me in counseling sessions, and we always come to this point. This is the point of healing. I've seen more people physically healed as they've forgiven than almost any other way. So let's just pause now, and then let me lead you in a prayer that you can pray quietly. If there is a name that the Holy Spirit can bring to you this morning, and it makes you go, you know? Holy Spirit, thank you for this amazing door that Jesus is opening for us through his own sacrifice, whereby we can forgive anybody that's hurt us. So, Holy Spirit, bring to mind in our hearts perhaps where we've almost forgotten, where we've tried to hide a grudge that you see against anybody. Dear Father, Now, if there is a name, if there is a person, just follow me in this prayer. Heavenly Father, I bring, and then mention that name. Heavenly Father, I bring, I leave them in your care. And now I forgive you, mentioning the name again, in the name of Jesus, for the hurt you've done to me. I forgive you now in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for the cross. We thank you for its power. And we thank you that even now this morning, that power will be setting somebody free of unforgiveness and enabling us together to go to the throne of grace and learn to pray and know our prayers are going to be answered. Thank you, precious Lord Jesus. Amen. 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 You don't only forgive once. The Christian life is a life of forgiveness. If you've got a soft heart and loving heart, which is what Jesus gives you, you're always open to being hurt. And so we're always learning to forgive and to forgive and to forgive. And as we forgive, we learn more and more about the precious nature of the Lord's love for us. Can you hear me, am I speaking? Mm-hmm. Now, we want to look at some scriptures that are going to help us to understand effective praying. But don't look at me and think that I've got all the answers, that I know all about this, because I don't. Don't look at me as though my prayer life is just what it should be. But we're always looking for more, aren't we? Looking for a greater effectiveness in our prayer life. I don't think we can ever say we've arrived. But what we want to consider is areas in our lives where we haven't seen answers to our prayers, and we want to see God answering those. Now, I want to read to you what I think is one of the most wonderful passages to open up the real meaning of prayer, and that is our Lord's Prayer in John 17. You know, you can read all sorts of books on prayer. You can come to seminars like this, and you think it. You might think it's great and lovely and so on. I don't know how many books of prayer I've read. I get attracted to them, but I find it doesn't make a whole lot of difference. Somehow, you learn something, and then 3 weeks later, it's gone. And you think, oh dear, 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 I've got to start all over again. And I think it's possibly because we haven't learnt some of the deep principles that I want to share with you this morning. And I don't know how many days we've got. How long does the Old Testament course go on for?
18 weeks, but we've had about 4. Certainly 3 or 4, yeah.
You've got 8.
January or February.
You've got 12 more weeks.
Yeah.
So we're going to meet like this for 12 more weeks. My word, we should be good prayers after that, shouldn't we? Now, Jesus' prayer, his last prayer, which unfolds for us some beautiful secrets. But I'm going to read just the last few verses. John 17, verse 22. Are we all okay there? I'm reading from this New Living Bible, which is easy to follow. I have given them the glory you gave me. Watch. It's too much, isn't it? The things Jesus gives us. Just gives. I have given them the glory you gave me, This is a key thing, because God wants to introduce us to his glory. But it's a gift. I have given them the glory you gave me, so that they may be one as we are. I in them and you in me, all being perfected into one. As I read that, I dare to think, if we're going to stay together for a few times, it could be lovely that we'll experience a oneness that Jesus can give. It could be lovely. Then the world will know that you sent me, and will understand that you love them as much as you love me. Father, I want these whom you have given me, which includes us, to be with me so that they can see my glory. And I always used to think that was after we died and were in the glory, but no, it's now. So they can see my glory. You gave me the glory because you loved me even before the world began. And the emphasis here is quite clear, that God wants to give us the glory because he loves us. He wants to give us the glory because he loves us. And I think he's waiting for us to say, okay, yes, Lord, I believe you, I'll receive it. But so often we say other things. Oh, righteous Father, the world doesn't know you, but I do. And these disciples you sent me. Oh, another big key. Jesus wants us to know him and to know the Father. Do you know the Father? Do you know the Lord? Jesus says, that's part of what I want to teach you, that you might know me. Oh, righteous Father, the world doesn't know you, but I do, and these disciples know you sent me. And I have revealed to them, and will keep on revealing, and I have revealed you to them, and will keep on revealing you, obviously, so that we can know him. I will do this so that your love for me may be in them, and I in them. Now Jesus is in prayer here, the most wonderful prayer. I mean, just before he goes to the cross, the most wonderful prayer you'll ever read, I would think. And he's including us. And what he's trying to say is this. If you remember nothing else, in all these weeks, I didn't realize we had so many weeks. I don't know. We'll have to check with Tony how many weeks we have. Try and let the Holy Spirit give you this, that prayer is appreciating the love that Jesus has for you. That's what it really is. It's coming in by the Holy Spirit into an ever-increasing revelation. Watch. Despite all my mistakes, despite who I am, despite the hardness of my heart, everything, he's loving me with an everlasting love. But more than that, he wants me to know it and to live in it. Now, can I just read this again? Oh, dear, the time's gone. But we didn't start till 22, did we? It was my fault, sitting here while you were drinking tea. I just read this again, and let the Holy Spirit let it sink into your precious hearts and gather you up in the thought, watch, Jesus wants me to come into his glory. He wants me to know that he loves me as much as the Father loves me. I've given them the glory you gave me, so that they may be one as we are. I in them and you in me, all being perfected into one. Then the world will know that you sent me and will understand that you love them as much as you love me. Father, I want these whom you've given me to be with me so they can see my glory. And we're going to come back to this, to be with me to see his glory, a bit later. You gave me the glory because you loved me. And I suppose we could say too, I want to give you the glory because I love you. Even before the world began. O righteous Father, the world doesn't know you, but I do. And these disciples know you sent me. And I have revealed you to them and will keep on revealing you. I will do this so that your love for me may be in them and I in them. So again, Father, we just want to pause and receive what you're saying in your word, that you long for us to know that you love us as much as the Father loves you. You want to catch us completely unworthy and stiff-necked though we are, into your glory. And Father, we thank you that this is all part of learning how to fellowship with you in prayer. Lord, I want to thank you, Lord, and we want to thank you together that this is what you're going to do. Because it's your word. You're going to make it life to us. So that, Lord, the way our attitude of our heart as we go through the day changes. And we taste of your glory. And Lord Jesus, others will begin to see it. And so thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you for giving us this truth, that thank you and thank you and thank you that you want to make it real to us. Amen. Now we have to consider this vital thing. If Jesus is inviting us into his glory, which means his presence, and that's an integral, vital part of prayer, he doesn't want us, I don't get the picture, to be out there in the cold, struggling away, trying to pray. Although he honors that, he says, no, look, I want you to come into a realization of my love, which is healing, and to know more and more of my presence and my glory as part of prayer life. So the question is, how do we get there? And the next most important aspect, basic aspect, is to understand and appreciate. Praise God for the Holy Spirit who will do it for us. The power of the blood of Jesus. His love, his presence, and his blood, you can't separate. They're all tied up. If you try and separate them, neither of them work. I don't think. So let's just look at a few passages concerning. You're allowed to come in. I'm sorry. And then we want to break up into groups of three and pray together. Let's turn to Colossians. A-E-I-O-U, when you get to Paul's epistles. Now I'm just going to select some passages about the blood of Jesus. We can't cover them all, can we? Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20. Shall we start at 19? For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and by him God reconciled everything to himself. Hallelujah! That's even Doug Calcott. Oh dear, what a work. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of his blood on the cross. This includes you, who were once so far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he's brought you back as his friends. He's done this through his death on the cross, in his own human body. And as a result, he's brought you into the very presence of God. And you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. Power of the blood. We can't understand it. But you must continue to believe this truth and stand in it firmly. Continue to believe the power of the blood, which is the power of God's love for you. You are invited, we are invited into the presence of God through it. We'll go on to Hebrews. I should have noted which ones I wanted to read. There's so many, I just have to be careful, don't I? Don't overload you. I'm just going to read Hebrews 7, verse 25. Therefore he is able, once and forever, to save everyone who comes to God through him. He lives forever to plead with God on their behalf. Now, when you read these scriptures by yourself, put your name in. Therefore, he is able once and forever to save Doug Calcott, who comes to God through him. He lives forever to plead with God on my behalf. You're there. You're in that truth, as in all these truths. Now, verse chapter 9, verse 11. So Christ has become the high priest over all the good things that have come. He has entered that great perfect sanctuary in heaven, not made by human hands and not part of this created world. Once for all time, he took blood into that most holy place. But not the blood of goats and calves. He took his own blood. And with it, he secured our salvation forever. Under the old system, the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a young cow could cleanse the people's bodies from ritual defilement. Just think how much more the blood of Christ will purify your hearts from deeds that leads to death, so that you can worship the living God. And this is prayer in its essence. And so finally, let's go to verse chapter 10 and verse 19. I hope you don't mind me using this translation. Is it okay by you? Pardon? Yes, it's meant to be read. If you're having any difficulty, if your translation is different and confuses you, don't worry. Just listen. It's been written for that purpose. Chapter 10 and verse 19. Oh, listen. And so, dear friends, this is us, we all can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. Nothing to do with how good you are, how bad you are, how wonderful a Christian you are, how rotten a Christian you are. Nothing to do with that. It's to do with the blood. This is the new living, life-giving way that Christ has opened up for us. This us, little morning here. Through the sacred curtain, by means of his death for us. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's people, let us go right into the presence of God with true hearts, fully trusting him. And if you think about it, you possibly look into your heart and find something saying, yeah, it's all right for other people, but not me. I don't think I'm included. And I'm a little bit apprehensive. Would I be accepted? Could I know the presence of God? And you have to look at the blood. You have to trust that blood. Now, we can't understand the blood of Jesus. It's Godward. It's a blood that was shed before, as it the altar in heaven, before the Father. And to God the Father, it is immeasurably wonderful. That the blood of his own Son shed for my sin and my mistakes and my waywardness. And God says, because of that, I will accept you. So perfect, real. And he's saying, come in, come in, come in, come into my presence. And I'm nearly through this little bit. Don't let Satan deceive you that the presence of God is linked to how you feel. It's not. It can involve feelings. It's linked directly to the power of that precious blood of the Son of God. He'll try and say to you, oh, you're not feeling anything. You should be feeling all lovely and warm and, oh, great, the presence of God. And it doesn't work that way. Why? Because that type of thinking, you are dependent on your soulish nature to think that way. And that's what Jesus died for. So your thought about, yeah, I want to feel good, and I want to feel as though I'm praying, I want to feel this and feel that and feel the other, well, I'm feeling now, I'm feeling yuck, and I've got all these things running through my mind that I've got to do, and I must get them done, and I better leave this prayer business for a bit, I'll come back another day. And you're looking at your soulish activity. That's the thing that Jesus died with. And we have to identify those thoughts with his death. And God is saying, look, okay, go and do the washing up. Go out shopping. Go down and do whatever you've got to do. But my presence will go with you. And we can worship and fellowship as you go. Do you see? Don't run away from me on the basis of your soulish thinking. It's the power of the blood we have to learn to trust, not how you feel. And so I want to leave you with these two thoughts this morning. That prayer is fellowship with the love of Jesus for you, drawing us into the presence of God. And the ground on which we can come is the power of the blood of Jesus towards his Father. And I enter into that blessing by simply trusting it. And so we're learning, just this morning, these two things. Learn not to trust your feelings, not to trust who you think you are or what you'd like to be. Trust the Word. The Word says, I love you, and I want you to know I love you. The Word says, I've proved it by paying a price for you, for the blood of my Son, and that's like a curtain that's been torn to bring us into the presence of God. Amen? Let's stop there, or else we'll be here till next month. I just want to pray that the words of Scripture that we shared will become life. Because that's what happens when you receive the Word and you believe it as the Word of God, contrary to how you feel, then the Word does the work in you. Beautiful, isn't it? Father, we thank you for these precious scriptures, and we just ask that by your Holy Spirit you'll quicken them to us and cause us to know more and more of this life that you bring into even us, for the glory of your name. Amen.